Bob Seger, old-time rock and roll, Jason's classic cut on a Monday on the Jerry Bader Show. 10:07, that's a dandy. All right, so Jason was bemoaning the forecast that in the Green Bay area, high tomorrow, was it tomorrow? 5 above? And Jason was saying, you know how sad it is when that sounds warm? I understand what defenders of Mark Pocan are saying, that he's predicting the future, but we're laughing at that because there's no evidence to support it at all. Winters have grown increasingly harsher in recent years in Wisconsin, which is consistent with falling temperatures, which is consistent with a lack, I'm not going to use their term, pause in global warming, because a pause suggests it's going to start up again, but they never predicted the pause in the first place. I want to take you back to 2012, and I think there's a lesson here that conservatives, Republicans do need to learn. There was a hotly contested primary for U.S. Senate to take on Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Four very good candidates were vying. Tommy Thompson was perceived the immediate front runner because he's Tommy Thompson. Eric Hovde, a man of great personal wealth, who spent a lot of it. Mark Newman, a guy who's tried again, and failed again. And for reasons to this day unknown to me, then Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald, I have never figured that one out. There was incredible Tommy Thompson loyalty. There are those who do what I do for a living who felt that Tommy Thompson loyalty in this state. I did not feel that Tommy Thompson loyalty. I thought he had become too moderate, that even if you look at what he did in the times that he was here, in the time that he was governor, there are some things that if he had a do-over, I would like him to do over. One of the things Republicans got way, way right when Tommy Thompson was governor and when they held the legislature and could pass these things, or get tough on crime. They passed get tough on crime measures and crime went down. One of those was treating 17-year-olds as adults for all offenses in the criminal justice system. They would not be in the juvenile justice system. They would be treated as adults. There is a piece of legislation now called the Second Chance Bill. Last week, I read an editorial that was in the Milwaukee newspaper from Tommy Thompson, who signed this legislation back in 1996, I believe it was, to have 17-year-olds treated as adults for all crimes. He now supports the Second Chance Bill. That was in the Milwaukee paper last week. Today's Green Bay paper, the print edition, has side-by-side editorials, one by Tommy Thompson, one by Jim Doyle, two former governors of Wisconsin. I want to just reread a little bit of Tommy's for those of you who missed it when I read it last week. I support the Second Chance Bill to allow first-time, nonviolent 17-year-olds to remain in the juvenile court system rather than the adult court system. I am pleased to join Senator Jerry Petrowski, Republican Marathon, Representative Gary Bies, Sister Bay, Representative Fred Kessler, Democrat Milwaukee, former Governor Jim Doyle, and an impressive bipartisan list of 51 additional lawmakers encouraging the legislature to pass the Second Chance Bill this year. Let's face it, good kids make poor decisions from time to time. The Second Chance Bill holds first-time, nonviolent 17-year-olds accountable for their actions through the juvenile courts rather than adult courts, and also provides them with the treatment and services they need to learn from their mistake and, in most cases, become productive members of society. These local juvenile services are a critical component of rehabilitation, and lawmakers should make every effort to fund them so counties are not faced with an unfunded mandate. The Second Chance Bill will continue to treat violent or repeat 17-year-old offenders in the adult court system as they have been since I signed Act 27 into law in 1995. There's been plenty of research over the last decade to suggest the juvenile court system is best positioned to hold first-time, nonviolent 17-year-old offenders accountable and reduce recidivism. He's saying the record of the juvenile court system is really good, and we should reopen it to quote-unquote nonviolent offenders. Right next to that, in the Green Bay paper, is Jim Doyle. I now read from former Governor Jim Doyle. I'm writing in support of the Second Chance Bill for Juveniles, a bill that will raise the age of adult court jurisdiction for first-time nonviolent offenders from 17 to 18 years old. An attorney general at the time Wisconsin adopted its juvenile justice code in 1996 as attorney general and lowered the age of adult court to 17 for all youth, I worked with others to respond to concerns about the rise of serious juvenile crime and the challenge of a juvenile system that was over capacity and didn't have sufficient resources to do the best job we could with youthful offenders. In addition to changing the age, we improved the juvenile justice code to provide a more balanced approach to working with youth, one that focuses on holding youth accountable, promoting community safety, and giving young people the skills they need to become responsible adults. We placed greater responsibility on parents for their children, and we made sure the juvenile code included the rights for victims they deserve. During my time as governor and continuing in recent years, there have been dramatic changes. Juvenile arrests and the number of juvenile charges in court have decreased dramatically for all youth younger than 18, not just 17-year-olds. The number of youth in corrections and detention facilities has gone down even faster, and counties are developing new, cost-effective ways to hold youth accountable, teach them new pro-social skills, and reduce the likelihood they will reoffend. We have learned a lot more about adolescent brain development, and better research about what works has demonstrated that the youth dealt within the juvenile justice system are less likely to reoffend than similar youth who are dealt with in adult court. And they parrot each other's points. In the past 5 years, three states have raised their age of adult court to 18, leaving Wisconsin as one of only 10 that treat all 17-year-olds automatically as adults. And we have learned that for many nonviolent first-time 17-year-olds who get in trouble with the law, an adult arrest and court record can follow them for life and in the end be counterproductive to them fulfilling their full potential to contribute socially and economically to our state. Under the Second Chance Bill, we can help ensure that 17-year-olds who get in trouble with the law can be held accountable and get them services they may need to get them back on track to successful adulthood. All right. I apparently am out of the mainstream on this topic. There are Republicans lining up to vote for this in the Assembly. Tommy Thompson, who signed the bill 20-some years ago, now supports the modification. Jim Doyle is just lying about his record, and he wanted nothing to do with getting tough on crime, and now he starts crowing about it. Here is my opinion on this. This is an attempt to start slowly turning back the clock. And pretty soon, well, it works so well for nonviolent offenders. Look, think about this. What's the big lie here? What's the big lie? It reduces recidivism in nonviolent offenses, but not violent offenses? If they think it makes sense for someone under 17 to receive this treatment, to be treated more to rehabilitation, why not for everybody? I throw this out to you because apparently I am rowing way out of the mainstream waters on this one. So I want to see what you think. Should we turn it back to 18 for nonviolent and first-time offenses for 17-year-olds? I have a feeling that a lot of people might disagree with me on this. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Mike on the road. Mike, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. I'm a police officer, and I can attest to how 17-year-olds are already treated in the court system. They may possibly be charged with something as a 17-year-old, but generally speaking, if it's a minor issue or a nonviolent offense, the district attorneys already have the power to reduce the sentences or the charges, not the sentences, but the charges, to something that wouldn't be the big problem that these two are already going on stating that it may be.
In fact, J.B. Van Hollen, who opposes this, made that very case. What you're talking about, Mike, is judicial discretion.
Correct.
That judicial discretion is there. If you think a kid, okay, well, this wasn't that big a deal, you know, we can deal with this. But for them to say, and as a law enforcement officer, I'd like your opinion on this, for them to say that being dealt with in the juvenile justice system reduces recidivism, my experience, Mike, is it encourages it because it's never on the public record for anyone to see.
That is very true. It's one of the biggest problems, and one thing that they do have correct here, is that the juvenile justice system is extremely taxed already. Now you're talking about throwing more into it, number one. And number two, a lot of the cases that the juvenile justice system ends up dealing with gets kicked down the road, kicked down the road, kicked down the road. And what the kids end up finding out is there's no consequence for my actions until I turn 18. I can do anything I want until I turn 18.
That's exactly right. And my argument, by the way, Mike, what they're arguing now is that no, the burden on the juvenile justice system has dropped dramatically, and that's why they can do this. I think that notion is absurd. I would like to see those numbers. Mickey on a cell. Mickey, hi, you're on the Jerry Bader Show.
Hi, Jerry. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, my husband and I have been treatment foster care parents for almost 10 years, and we've had kids in and out of incarceration. And I think that what they're saying, the former governor, is a bunch of baloney. I mean, the recidivism, you know, whether they're in adult court or juvenile court, it doesn't seem to matter. And like what the officer just said, they don't have any consequences. And we've seen that in our home, and the treatment that we've provided, it's really difficult because we don't get, I think, for lack of better support from the juvenile system the way that it is.
Well,
become adults, and they're faced with adult consequences rather than as a juvenile, you know, being, like you said, being kicked down the road.
And that's where I think their argument fails utterly, Mickey. If they think that this is in the best interest of juveniles and better to rehabilitate them, then why don't they want it for violent offenders too?
Yeah, well, I mean, in a personal case, we've had one boy that was with us. He went into prison as a 17-and-a-half-year-old an adult prison for a violent offense, unfortunately. And had it been dealt with maybe a little more, I don't want to say punitively, but maybe if it had been, he wouldn't have been in that position. Maybe that would have been a deterrent before this happened.
Well, and Mickey, that's exactly right. Thanks a lot for the call. I want you to think about this. They're arguing juvenile crime has gone down dramatically since this was put in place. Let me say that out loud again. Juvenile crime has gone down dramatically, they argue, since this has been put in place. This is the New York argument all over again. Well, we don't need it anymore. What the hell do you think is going to happen? And I want to see the definition of nonviolent offense. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. It's 1020.
The Jerry Bader Show.